Hello, and welcome to episode 314 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by the other two M's. M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, we'll start with you this week.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin, and you can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
Joey?
Hi, my name is Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Joey, I think we have to congratulate you not having audio issues this week. You're not on your phone.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even forget. And then the audio just cuts out now.
The internet in Ohio sucks, but apparently so.
A lot of things in Ohio suck, so.
I saw from our good friend Mark Johnson, I saw that he took his kids to some like skiing tubing place or whatever, like, and it just everything looked dirty. Everything, like the snow looked filthy and everything was gray and brown and gross looking. It was like, oh.
Everything, I think it's actually kind of funny because there has not been like any snow since I've been here. Like, well, there's been snow, but it's not like I'm so used to like Rochester snow where it's like,
feet,
you know, I think Clarence remembers when he came in for my Oscar party once snowed like the day before and we're walking from his bed and breakfast to my apartment building. There were like the snow was like up to our knees and Clarence is pretty tall. So
remember when I stepped off the curb into the street and I fell into the snow?
Oh my God. Yeah. I think I remember hearing about that.
It was so much. It was so much.
That sounds terrible.
Well, here in North Carolina, here in North Carolina, when it snows, it's all clean and white and then it melts and goes away. So I'm just not accustomed to places where it routinely snows and then it gets dirty and, you know, it snows again. And then like, you know, plows come and push the dirty snow off the road into the side where it stays for weeks and weeks and weeks. I'm not used to that.
That is pretty much what our lives were in Elwood City. I was going to say growing up in Western Pennsylvania, I always hated the winter because it would just I hate dirty snow, but I mean, sometimes it happens, but sometimes it's also, you know, like lately it's been clearing up and then snowing again, which I'm fine with. I like that.
Excellent. So anyway, congratulations, Joey, on being internet connected and not having issues with your audio. Hope you guys are doing well. We are. It's a big week this week. Fingers crossed. Nothing crazy happens.
Right?
Let's not get political, but we're just hoping for the best.
Yep. I'm looking for like, I was like, you know how sad it is that we're just like, I hope no one gets shot.
You know,
or bad shit.
I have to ask you guys just very one quick political question. I did hear today that President Trump is, Trump is going to have like 100 pardons. How much you want to bet he pardons the Q shaman guy?
Wait, which person? Oh,
shaman.
Oh, the guy with the horns?
Everybody that's been arrested for breaking into the Capitol, I bet he pardons them.
I think he's going to pardon every single one.
Really? I don't think he's going to pardon that woman because she asked.
Oh, the one who... Oh, I feel like there's actually... I feel like if he would still have his Twitter, he would have pardoned them already. I'm going to be real fucking mad.
Anyway, I also heard that Parler was back up and it's being run off of Russian servers.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was working from home today and I had on CNN and I was like, why do I have on CNN? But I'm just like looking to see what's happening. You know, I'm like, I think now I'm starting to think if anything happens, it's going to be Wednesday.
Yeah, there was supposed to be something. This is the last thing I'll say, sorry, then we can move on. But there was, you know, all this talk that there was going to be a Proud Boys march in my city of Columbus. And we don't live too close to the State House, but we're on the same street as the State House. Like, I could walk there if I wanted to. It's like 10 blocks, maybe. And I was like really freaked out like all day yesterday. I was so nervous and I was like, I need to have a plan in place. I was like, what happens if something goes wrong? Jason would probably think I'm crazy, but I have a plan. I'm gonna pack a bag. I'm gonna grab the dogs. We're gonna go to our friend's house. And you probably heard me say all that. And nothing happened. I was like, and it was like peaceful protests. There was no incident. I was like, good. You are allowed to have a peaceful protest. That is your constitutional right. Peaceful protest, as much as your little dark, three sizes too small heart can manage. And that's fine. Do that. That's it. But now I'm worried about Wednesday. Yay!
I love Joey's rants. They just go off the rails. Like,
yes, they do. They are our past.
It's like we were talking about Build-A-Bear, Joey.
All right, I'm going to rein us back in here. We're trying to keep this under 45 minutes now. So this week we are going to tackle two topics. One of which is one of my most anticipated shows of 2021, which is Disney Plus's WandaVision. And as the only Avengers-friendly person on this podcast, it's going to be a very interesting conversation, I suspect. And then, of course, we will hit the Critics' Choice TV Awards, which were announced today and posted exclusively on Awards Daily, and talk about what these awards mean. And even though they straddle the Emmy year in a weird way, this is calendar year. Emmy year goes from June to May. We'll talk about, you know, kind of what trends we're seeing, what oddities there were here in the awards, and what we could look forward to in the Screen Actors Guild and Golden Globes and eventually the Emmy Awards. So we're going to squeeze all that plus the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating the upcoming week in 45 minutes. I lay down the gauntlet.
Actually, 35.
Well,
Jeez, no.
The WandaVision conversation isn't going to last too long, I can tell you that, because just as soon as I get some hate going, we're going
to
shut
down. No, it could, because I'm anxious to talk about this. Like, I'm anxious to talk about it. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. So with that, let's start with WandaVision, which I will introduce. WandaVision is the Marvel Studios' first full-length series under the sort of the Marvel Cinematic Universe banner. Of course, there have been other Marvel television series on Netflix, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage. And then there have been things on ABC that were the Inhumans.
Oh, Peggy Carter.
Peggy Carter, and then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. being the most, the one that lasted the longest. I think it was four or five seasons. The rest of them were down in one. But this is the first one to debut on Disney Plus under the banner and the guidance of Kevin Feige, who is the architect of all of the, for better for worse, all of the Marvel movies. And I would say for better, because these are massively popular, even though it's not very popular on this podcast. They are massively popular worldwide. They have made billions and billions of dollars for the Disney Corporation. So I don't think we can argue whether they are quality is a different story, but whether they are popular, I think, is not as up for argument. But anyway, WandaVision is an oddity. It's a very strange way. It was not originally intended to be the first Marvel series, but it is because of the COVID-19 pandemic. It is the one that was filmed earliest. It is the one that was finished filming. So it's the one that debuted first. And I embrace the oddities, and I think it's a great way to start this new series, because it does give us something different. But we will get into this conversation as to whether or not it's ultimately going to be alienating. It does deal with Wanda Maximoff and Vision, two characters, one of whom died in the end of Avengers Infinity War and has been mysteriously restored. We don't know why. We don't kind of have any kind of orient information other than this series does take place after the end of Avengers Endgame. And they are living in a suburban paradise, and every episode is dedicated to an era of popular television. The first episode is dedicated to the Dick Van Dyke Show. The second one is more like Bewitched. And then it goes 70s, 80s, 90s, thousands. Can't wait for the Modern Family episode. But
yay!
It stretches out 9 episodes. I was wrong, Joey. It's not 6. It's 9 episodes. They're all half an hour apiece. So let's talk about WandaVision. So I'm on the record as loving the show. It's very much up my alley. I think it's incredibly well made. I think it's very well acted, and I think it's really interesting. But I am an Avengers nerd. So Joey or Megan, who would like to go first?
I will jump in. So I actually had some high expectations for this. I think that Elizabeth Olsen is a really great actress and Paul Bettany is a really great actor. And, I would say that there is so much love and attention to detail, great care taken with this show that, you know, it is an homage to classic television shows. And I like the first episode better than the second, I would say, because it is setting up this kind of universe of, you know, this is, it's kind of like Bewitched. It is a lot like Bewitched the way it's like, oh, he's, you know, they both got magical powers and stuff. I just felt like it was basically just that premise. I was waiting for more of a little bit of hint of what's going on. I mean, they tease it a little at the end in the final scenes, but I personally wanted a little bit more as somebody who is not a Marvel nerd. I wanted to know a little more of where this is going, because right now it's just, to me, feels like a straightforward sitcom that has two Marvel characters in it. But I know that there's more to it. And even the way you had described it, Clarence, made me want to watch it. Like, that this might be, you know, her dealing with Trump. I mean, that's something I really want to see, is her, you know, what's really going on. I guess I just needed a little more of that I do recognize that there are a lot of good things happening, but I also think, as somebody who has no patience for Marvel, my patience was wearing thin.
Right. Yeah. My initial theory before watching any of this was that she was having a mental breakdown, and there's a line, a series in the comic books where the Scarlet Witch, the character that Elizabeth Olsen plays, does have a mental breakdown and kind of reorchestrates reality. And there was some theory that this is what's happening here. Subsequent episodes have made me think that that is not what is happening, but I don't have any more information than you guys do. I've seen one more episode than you have, but that third episode does have about 4 or 5 minutes of sort of period sitcom breaking material.
Mm. Okay.
Joey, what did you think?
I actually liked it more than I thought I would. Marvel spectrum. I'm more of like a Marvel acquaintance, like a Marvel coworker, if you will. I have seen like everything. I've seen all the movies. I'm not going to touch any of the shows except this one. Just because I was really interested in this, because I think Scarlet Witch is one of the best Marvel superheroes. She's one of my favorites in these movies. I probably still have. I remember being a little faggy kid and getting a. I was really into X-Men when I was little, and I.
Who was your favorite?
I was really into Rogue when I was a little kid.
That was my favorite.
I like Rogue and the whole Phoenix storyline, but I remember getting a Scarlet Witch card, like a baseball card, you know. I'm actually looked it up. I'm looking at a picture of her right now. I will send it to you both. That's how I knew I was gay. But I think
there's such ample evidence.
You're like, you're not gay. Provide us with evidence. I actually was very intrigued with. I was ready to write it off until like the last 5 minutes of the first episode, and then there's sort of just like something weird is happening, and then. I like the second episode mostly because I really like, oh God, what's her name? Emma Caulfield.
I love Emma Caulfield.
Because yes. I was also a giant Buffy fan.
Yeah.
So I love her in it too. I was so surprised to see her. I did not expect it. Now I'm seeing all these people tweeting about her and stuff. So I was in it for her. I was really impressed with Elizabeth Olsen's comic timing, because we haven't really seen her in a comedy except like Ingrid Goes West, which I also love. So I like all these shows like Bewitched and what's the first show?
Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke. I was really into it, and I was And then, like, the weird, strange stuff that's happened. And I'm very intrigued. Like, I feel like when I started the first episode, I was a little bit tired of it just because I feel like I shouldn't have to watch a million things or understand a million things to enjoy something. But by the time the first episode rolled around and then the second episode started, I was like, oh, I think I'm a little bit hooked on it because I want to know what happens and I want to know what the weird things are. And I think Paul Bettany's really funny too. I do think some of the humor, especially at the beginning when they're getting into it, I was like, oh God, I'm gonna fucking kill myself. When they're just like, they were like, oh honey, I remember I can walk through walls. Laugh track, laugh track, laugh track. And I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna hate this. But I didn't hate it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, actually I really loved the first two episodes, and I think a lot of it has to do with there are a lot of in jokes. There are a lot of in references to the Marvel universe, to the original comic books. Even the commercials in the middle are all direct callbacks to the films. Mm-hmm. The fake commercial that they show about halfway through. You know, what I don't know is sort of how that all plays into what's really going on. I don't want to say too much more because if you watch the third episode, you will see sort of what's going on. Okay. So, in the end of that, but, I think I probably did prefer the second episode slightly over the first one because I loved Paul Bettany's comic presence in, you know, the drunk Vision or whatever, the gummed up person. Mm-hmm. I thought he had really good comic timing. You don't see him in a lot of comedies. And I think they have great chemistry together. They work really well together. And I think the true star of this is Catherine Hahn, who is,
she's always the true star of everything.
That is exactly what I was getting ready to say. I love her nosy next door neighbor, Agnes. She's really great in the first episode. I think she's the best thing in the first episode by far. There are moments where, like in the beginning of the second episode, where they're like, honey, did you use your powers to turn on the lights? And she goes, yes, yeah. I did. I'm assuming that's what you're talking about when it's kind of grating. Yeah, those moments are very grating when they tie too deeply to the style and the writing of the original inspiration, the original series, like Bewitched and Dick Van Dyke Show. Mm-hmm. When they get into the moments where her reality starts to crumble, those are the most interesting pieces to me.
Yeah, I think of like the first episode with the dining room scene where she's like, when were we married? You know, that stuff is interesting to me. But you're right. I think the homage to classic TV, as much as I love classic TV, was just like, okay, get on with it. I want to know more. Like I feel like they're kind of treading water a little bit to keep, like, it's kind of amazes me that they're going to be 8 episodes or 9 episodes. That's a lot, I think, for this kind of show.
Well, they have to stop the homages at some point because 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 1000, you know, if they go through the 2000s, that only gets them 6 episodes. If they do 2010, then that's 7. Okay, so you got 2 more that are clearly not going to be centered around. They're going to break that whatever's happening. They will break that, and it will become a more standard show.
I look forward to it doing that because I think I don't want it to be drowning in this. It's cute, you know. It's a really winky, clever premise to take that, but I think it's going to be interesting to see if it gets bogged down by it, and well, I hope it doesn't.
Based on what happens in the end of episode 3, I would say that they are probably going to break it faster than not. But we'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe I'll watch one more, even though I had. But I kept thinking, this is not for me. But even though I thought it would be, because I thought, oh, this is a way for. But maybe I need to give it one more episode.
Watch the third episode. Let me know what you think. It's. I will say that the. The woman that is in the second episode, the African-American woman, she will become a bigger character in the Marvel universe. That is a character directly from the comic books who has abilities. I don't think she's gotten her abilities yet, but she has abilities and eventually becomes a leader of the Avengers.
Oh,
Yeah, but she was the Joey. Did you see Captain Marvel, the movie with Brie Larson?
Yeah, isn't she? Yeah, she's
the she's the little girl from that movie. So we'll see. So it's like a mixed thumbs up and a thumbs up.
I need to see more. I need to go back into the lab, do more testing. I mean, the performances are great. It reminded me of how good Elizabeth Olsen is and Paul Bettany too. But I just was kind of like, okay, what are you guys doing? And maybe that's the point. And I'm just, because I'm not a Marvel fan, I have less patience for it. But I was just kind of like, what's going on? Like,
that makes sense.
Seriously.
I do think there is. Oh, go ahead, Joy.
Oh, no. No, I was going to say something stupid.
No, go ahead.
I have forgotten that Paul Bettany was in the Marvel movies. I know, how could I possibly forget? But yeah,
seriously, I even knew that.
But like, I saw when I didn't realize that there was like a review embargo and people were tweeting about it. And I think I saw someone just like, Paul Bettany has really great comedic timing. And I was like, Uncle Frank is not that funny, guys. Like, it's like, why are you saying that? I don't think you get the tone of the movie. And I was like, oh fuck, never mind. I am an idiot.
One thing I will say is I do think that the Television Academy is going to love the production design and the crafts, especially when you realize that especially in those first two episodes, all of their quote unquote magic or their mutant powers or whatever they do to show their ability, those are all practical effects. Those are not computer generated. They did those.
Really awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. So when things are flying across the kitchen, there's like strings or something hanging.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They tried to make the episodes as truly as if they were made in the 1950s.
Like I said, you could tell that there's a lot of care there with those episodes, and I appreciate that.
Yes. It'll be interesting because it'll go head-to-head with The Mandalorian, I think. Wouldn't it? Or is it comedy and drama? It depends. Well, no, this is a limited series, so I guess it won't. This will be categorized differently. Anyway, speaking of categories, should we move on to the, what kind of a segue is that? Should we move on to Critics' Choice TV Awards?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Chugga.
The Critics' Choice announced their television awards today as we are recording. And there are two Netflix series. Netflix led with the most, which is pretty much expected considering they have the most content. But Ozark and The Crown each led with 6 nominations, and not that surprising, I would say, for either. But I think it does sort of have a good. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. It bodes well for how the Academy will respond to The Crown season 4.
Yep.
I would argue.
Yeah, I thought that too. Even though, you know what's funny, though? I felt like shows were missing, and I don't know if it's because Maisel's not there, Handmaid's Tale's not there. Like, the usual suspects, I felt like, were maybe, I don't know. It just felt like I'm like, are they missing something? It was something snubbed, but it might just be.
They didn't have episodes in the eligibility year.
Yeah, so that's why I was like, what is going on? Like, it just felt like something was off.
Yeah.
I mean, Perry Mason showed up.
That is. Yeah, so it's talking about the drama. Then I'm not going to go through all of these. I'll go through the series nominees, and then we can talk about individual categories if you'd like. But the drama series nominees were Better Call Saul, The Crown, The Good Fight, Lovecraft Country, The Mandalorian, Ozark, Perry Mason, and This Is Us. And I would argue that Perry Mason is actually not that critically acclaimed, so I'm kind of curious as to why it's there.
I was too, because I feel like, I don't know, I just felt like not many people were really. I mean, I guess it did get good reviews according to the HBO ads, but I just was kind of surprised that they went so hard on like that. I said hard on. They went so hard for that. There we go. That sounds better.
Well, the Rotten Tomatoes on Perry Mason is like 76 or 78. So that's low for Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
I think don't you remember like when the FYCs for really the ads, like some one person who has their quote in the ad or like, it's the most beautiful show ever. I feel like everyone was like, don't need to say it. I'm just going to vote for it. Because there are some other things. I'm looking at the ones from last year, like There was a show from OWN nominated for Best Drama Series, which I do not even remember that, called David Makes Man. David Makes Man. And then in the limited series category, they nominated remember Catch 22? Remember hearing about that show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And like years and years, and like sometimes they have some like really funky things in there.
I feel like we always accuse them of doing this in the film categories, but they just want to cast like a wide, wide net. Yeah.
Like Mom is in here. Oh wait, well, have we moved on to the comedy series yet? Or can I talk about anything or
Let's wrap up drama real quick.
Oh, I was really excited that Cynthia Erivo got a supporting actress drama for The Outsider. Like, I'm surprised The Outsider seemed to have more of a following, I would say, than Perry Mason.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that Ben Mendelsohn wasn't nominated for Best Actor. I mean, she was the sole nominee there.
Yeah.
The one
I
thing
loved her in that, though.
Yeah, looking forward, I think two shows come out of this really well off. And maybe Perry Mason, I don't know. I mean, I always thought that was going to be like a John Lithgow, maybe Matthew Rhys play, not necessarily a series. But obviously The Crown, getting both Emma Corrin and Olivia Colman in Best Actress, getting Josh O'Connor, and even getting Tobias Menzies in Supporting Actor. Those are significant, I would say.
Yeah.
Plus, but Lovecraft Country getting that many nods.
Yes.
That's pretty. Yeah. That's huge for that show. Five nominations. I don't think it's gonna. We'll see what it does at SAG, but this is going to give them something to build off of.
Yeah, definitely.
What else about drama? You know, Claire Danes got a goodbye nomination for Showtime.
Oh, she did.
Yeah. And
I didn't even notice that.
I'm glad that the Critics' Choice sort of remedied, even though I didn't watch the show, but I'm glad that they remedied the Emmy mistake of Tom Pelfrey not getting in.
Yes, I was excited about that.
And they also made room for Janet McTeer.
Yes.
And Rhea Seehorn. Yay.
Yeah.
Although I suspect they're all going to lose to Gillian Anderson, but we'll see. anything else about drama?
No.
Comedy. You had some thoughts about comedy, Megan.
Oh, I was just laughing that like Mom showed up in the Best Comedy Series.
It was there last year too, yeah. But it wasn't the year before.
Funny,
it's really
to
weird.
Me, like, but I'll just name the other ones. Better Things, Flight Attendant. This was a good day for Flight Attendant. Mom, Pen 15, Rami. Schitt's Creek, Ted Lasso, What We Do in the Shadows. I think Ted Lasso did pretty well, too, here.
Yeah,
it did.
Because it got in, Hannah Waddingham got in for Supporting Actress so Comedy. She's so good.
I'm really excited that Andrew Rannells got in for Black Monday.
I saw that, too.
A show that is incredibly underrated, and I'm terrified that it's just not going to continue because of the pandemic. So I'm excited about that. And I'm excited about Nicholas Hoult.
Yes.
They also remedied that.
Yes, but they omitted her and they omitted the series, which is all very weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Connors picked up a Best Supporting Actress nomination for Lacey Goranson.
Who plays Becky?
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
And she, even though she is really good, but...
Well, usually it's Laurie Metcalf.
Last year it was Laurie Metcalf. That was just kind of funny that I saw that. And I'm like, what?
what?
You know, that's great. Also, I was excited that Emily in Paris, Ashley Park, got a nomination. That's well-deserved because she's a scene stealer on that show.
Yeah, she is.
I'm a little bit surprised that Alex Newell was the sole nomination from Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist and not her.
Right.
That was really weird.
I didn't understand that either, because, I mean, that's just kind of crazy.
And they went big for What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes, I'm starting to think I need to rewatch that. I thought the first season was fine, but maybe I need to jump back in.
It'll be interesting to see if they go whole hog for Schitt's Creek like the Emmys did. I somehow don't think they will, but I don't know. We'll see.
I don't think they will either, because I think they're going to be like, oh, you already got your stuff. We're not giving you anymore.
Plus, there's a little bit of a tiny little bit of a backlash.
Yes. I think just very small, but almost like, we don't want to give you anything else. Like, you're too happy.
Do you think sometimes, whether it's the Oscars or the Emmys, once, and you know how since the calendars are always kind of messed up, do you think sometimes with TV, they're just like, oh no, you got the Emmy, you're fine, we're going to give it to somebody else? I can't think of an example, but other than Schitt's Creek, but.
I don't know. I mean, I think so sometimes, unless it's like something that they feel very strongly about, like it needs to get everything.
Well, they never went as big. No other organization ever went as big for Game of Thrones as the Emmys did. And I think that people soured on that after Game of Thrones started getting know, all these awards.
That's so true.
I don't know. I think the more problematic nominations are in the limited series categories.
Some weird things in here.
Which, by the way, how, like, do they not have rules about the number of shows that they nominate?
Anything. Because
it's 9 series nominated. I believe that those are all of the limited series that aired in 2020. Joey, you want to walk us through the limited series nominees?
Sure. We might need to take an intermission, but the limited series is I May Destroy You, Mrs. America, Normal People, The Plot Against America, The Queen's Gambit, Small Axe, The Undoing, and Unorthodox. A great swath of nominees there.
I was surprised The Undoing showed up there.
Yes. And I'm also a little surprised. Well, I mean, I guess not. I thought Hugh Grant got nominated, but Nicole Kidman didn't.
Right.
I feel like that the more that I think about it, I think the more security for nominations is just at the Golden Globes, maybe SAG. I'm not sure how well that would translate to Emmys later down the line. But I feel like Hugh Grant and Noma Dumezwani might be the bigger players than maybe Nicole Kidman. I don't know. I feel like maybe for Nicole Kidman's performance, as good as she is, because she's good in everything, because she's Nicole Kidman, I wonder if some people are just like, all right, this isn't one of her like greatest, most groundbreaking performances. Been there, done that. Give it to somebody else.
Yeah, I definitely think there's stuff there that's in play for sure. I would actually argue that Donald Sutherland has a better shot at an Emmy nomination than she does at this point.
Yeah.
I would say in my mind, likelihood ranking is probably Hugh Grant, Donald Sutherland, Noma Dumezwani, and Nicole Kidman.
Wow.
But Golden Globes pretty much locked in because it's Golden Globes.
Well, yeah. Mrs. America, 5 nominations, but 3 of those were in the same category.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And they were all the ones that we pretty much thought it was going to come down to, too.
Yeah. I was really happy to see Mariel Heller get nominated for the Queen's Gambit. Love her in that show. The thing that pissed me off the most, literally made me mad, was they nominated The Plot Against America. That's great. They nominated Morgan Spector. That's fantastic. Yes. He's fantastic in it. I'm sorry. Where's Zoe Kazan? Oh, right. Wait. She didn't get fucking nominated. Oh, wait. Winona Ryder did. Now, right. Granted, they're not in the same category, but tell me that there are not other supporting performances from actresses who were better than Winona Ryder in The Plot Against America. She is fine. She is fine. There are other, I mean, like, nominate a fourth person for Mrs. America. You know, Sarah Paulson.
Or Noma. Noma didn't get in either. So.
Noma, right. I don't know. And then not to nominate Zoe Kazan, who is widely seen as giving the best performance. Like it's.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I just literally don't understand. The problem is, I think, is I don't know who would fall out. I haven't seen Sylvie's Love. I haven't seen I May Destroy You.
That's my question. I thought Sylvie's Love was just a movie. I didn't realize it was made for television.
It's made for television, but it's with all the weird rules going on this year, it is going to be an Emmy player. It's going to be an Emmy player. Like Small Axe, yes. But for the Golden Globes, it's going to be competing in the film categories.
Well, that makes sense.
Oh my God, that's so confusing.
And so it's really confusing. It was one of their that was one of their first decisions, I think, because it wasn't on Amazon's FYC site. I'm a big, you know, obviously big proponent. Check the FYC site, and it was listed under television movie and not under their film site.
That's so weird. Also, I do like Fargo's last breath here, like they're
with the last gasp.
Chris Rock and Glenn Turman, and they're like, we're still trying to stay relevant with this show. Even though I did want to watch it, I didn't get around to it, and I did not see anybody talking about it anyway, no. Which not that that's a reason to watch something, but usually that gets me going to be like, okay, I got to watch this.
I think that I'm excited to – that actually makes me want to check out the show now because I haven't watched the new season of Fargo, but I didn't know Glenn Turman was in it, and he's having sort of – a good year because he's in Ma Rainey's Black Bottoms. I don't think he's out of the race of getting a nomination there. So, makes me want to think.
I want to go back to supporting actress here for a second.
it's like, I forgot Winona Ryder.
No, I love Winona Ryder. But I think even she would agree that Holland Taylor or Patti LuPone in Hollywood were better than she was in The Plot Against America.
Let's bring her on and ask her. Winona.
I forgot.
I don't think she's there anymore. Do we unmute her mic? Hello, Winona.
I actually forgot Hollywood was a thing until I saw Dylan McDermott get nominated. And that's really random that he's the only person from that show that gets a nomination. And he's good in it. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from him, but it's bizarre. Yeah.
Was Little Fires Everywhere eligible?
It was.
Yeah.
And so that got shut out, which is interesting.
But it was a critics thing. Like, critics did not like that show.
Right. But there's some things here that I thought, well, I mean, I didn't feel like critics liked Mrs. America that much either.
I feel like they had enough broad support, I thought.
Yeah.
One of the other nominations I'm really excited about, which I don't even watch the show, but it makes me want to watch... propel me to watch the show because I originally wanted to watch it was where'd it go? Oh, Betsy Brandt for Soulmates. I forgot about that show.
I kind of was thinking about watching that too.
Yeah.
Didn't you watch it for an interview?
No.
No, I thought you did. I can hear Neville in the background.
Poor Neville. He just got fixed today. So.
Oh. I don't have any gold now.
The thing I wanted to tell you, that they said to me, they were like, okay, so the dog, there's like, you can't let him run, you can't let him jump. And I was like, it's a dog. Like, I'm not going to help him. It's a dog. Okay, that's it. Sorry.
That's really funny. Is Clarence still there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry. I apologize. I was getting some texts from a friend who's like, my other friend told me that there's an extremely graphic rape scene in Promising Young Woman. And I'm like, what?
There isn't.
I'm racking my brain. And then they're like, no. Well, you clearly weren't paying attention. And I'm like, I don't think there's a rape scene at all. No. There's no sex in the movie.
They talk about it, but they don't. I mean, they don't show anything.
Is he watching a different Promising Young Woman? Like pornography?
I don't know. Anyway, anything else about limited series?
No.
Yeah.
All right. So the nominees will be decided in a live ceremony on the CW, which airs on the March 7th. Which feels like it's so far away, and I'm not even sure that they'll actually have the ceremony. Screen Actors Guild got pushed, and Grammys got pushed.
Yeah.
I don't even know what they're doing with the Golden Globes, to be honest, but whatever.
Right.
It's going to be in a parking lot.
It will. Yes, we'll have Amy Poehler and Tina Fey standing on Hollywood Boulevard.
Are they hosting again this year?
They are.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
All right, so let's go very quickly. Let's do the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Joey, you can go first.
Sure. I am excited for a couple things. TV, I'm going to watch The Sister, which I want to review for the site. It's a new Hulu show starring Russell Tovey. I'm going to finish second season of, well, not finish the second season, but finish the screen news I have of Servant on Apple TV Plus. And then movie-wise, I want to see The White Tiger on Netflix, and I have a screener for that Justin Timberlake Palmer movie, so I'm really interested to check that out.
That's it. Vithi, I'll watch that too, then. I guess I'll just jump in.
Yes, please.
I'm trying to think of what I'm interested in. TV-wise, I need to catch up on The Wilds. I also, there was something else that I started watching. Oh, I've been watching Virgin River, and I know that's like, I know this is not a show that we cover, but it's just a soap opera that I just watch. And Annette O'Toole was amazing on it, and I love her, so I'm still working on that show. I also have been listening to Mariah Carey's memoir, which she sings on it. And it's,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very entertaining. So that's the book that I'm reading. And make sure everybody listens to the new Consider Uggie podcast. Ugg plug. Joey and I watched What's Up Scarlett from 2005. So yeah, so that's it. That's probably about it that I'm doing this week.
Awesome. I think this week for me is probably going to be mostly focused on Wednesday's inauguration. Which I'm going to watch out of one corner of my eye and try to work because I don't have off Wednesday, so I'm going to be multitasking for sure. But we're going to continue my rewatch of The Crown with my wife. So,
oh, I also need to do that too. I think you guys have. I feel like I've got to watch it now. Everybody's been yelling at me about it.
I feel like you have to watch season 4.
I know.
For the next year, you've definitely got to watch season 4 because yeah, I really think that it's going to be, unless like Succession magically comes in like May, late May with a third season, I really don't see anything beating it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
But we'll see. I tried to look up online to see where they were in filming. I know they've added cast members, but, given the pause on the filming industry, the filming of the television and film industry right now, I just don't know that they're going to come up with anything before June.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I'm doing this week is rewatching The Crown.
Nice.
Yeah. So does that cover it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because I'm out of here with 3 minutes to spare. So we are the 3Ms, contributors Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant and safe and healthy and happy tomorrow.
Wash your hands.